What's happening locally? The news.
And indeed, let's take our Friday morning look, our last look for the week, some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. Judge Olmedo Arocha, rapporteur of the unconstitutionality lawsuit presented against the agreement of the Tribunal Electoral Court that designated José Raúl Moreno as presidential candidate to the Realizing Goals and Alianza parties, explained that the president of the Supreme Court of Justice, María Eugenia López Arias, can call an extraordinary plenary session to decide the matter. Likewise, five magistrates could call an extraordinary plenary session if they so consider. These were part of Arocha's explanations in a press conference held on Thursday when there are 10 days left, just 10 days until the general elections. Arocha, who warned that these explanations are made as a substantiator and not as a spokesperson for the court, said that 88 allegations were admitted regarding the lawsuit, 71 in favour of the constitutionality of the Tribunal Electoral Act and 17 against. "Now it is up to me. Within the 10 days that began on the 22nd of April last Monday until the 6th of May to prepare a draft ruling that I have to circulate to the rest of the magistrates," he added. Arocha indicated that the draft ruling will be circulated among the other eight judges simultaneously. He added that on April the 23rd he requested information from the Tribunal Electoral, which he considers necessary to be able to finalise making a decision after having established a formed criterion of what should be and what I'm going to propose to the rest of the magistrates of the plenary session of the Court of the Supreme Court. "As soon as we receive a response to said communication, we will be able to finalise the complete draft of the decision that we will circulate simultaneously to the rest of the magistrates," he remarked. "Once the draft ruling is distributed, the process enters a new stage. What happens after the 10 days, which expire on the 6th of May, for the preparation of the project? All right, you have to put this project on read through for 20 days. That's regulated in a plenary agreement of February the 9th of 2012, he pointed out. "If there are at least two observations, then Arocha, as Speaker, will have to bring this to the plenary for discussion, so that it has debated, deliberated, and voted on its decision. You can even lose the presentation if the majority considers that the operative part is not sympathetic or does not agree with it." Arocha indicated the Supreme Court plenary itself could sovereignly modify some processing deadlines, such as the two observations. "The issue is in what context, in what opportunity, under what form this can be done, since we also have a previously established agreement, which is Agreement 1375 of December the 25th of 2009, which establishes that this has to be done in a plenary meeting," he noted. The Minister of Commerce and Industries, Jorge Rivera Staff, indicated that the institution concluded the process of cancellation and annulment of all metal mining concessions in the country, as established by Law 407 of November of 2023, which imposed a mining moratorium in response to the rejection generated by the contract that the state signed with the company Minera Panama, a subsidiary of First Quantum. The official noted that some companies are preparing legal actions against the annulment of their concessions, but affirmed that the ministry has complied with the guidelines of Law 407 of the 3rd of November 2023. Last March, the MICI informed the National Assembly that 82 applications from companies intending to explore for metallic minerals had been rejected. The denied applications are based on the provision of Law No. 407, which prohibits the granting of concessions for the exploration, extraction, transportation, and benefit of the exploitation of metal mining throughout the national territory. To date, we're aware of at least six arbitration proceedings initiated against Panama, of which four are linked to the Donoso mine and one to the cancellation of the Cerro Quema mine in the province of Los Santos. The official also reacted to the comments of the executive director of First Quantum, Tristian Pascal, who mentioned that they hope to receive, after the 5th of May elections, permission to export the 121,000 tonnes of copper concentrate that are stored in the mine. This is part of a media campaign that the company is carrying out regarding the concentrate, but we are conducting technical analyses on the concentrate, said staff. Panamanian Reynaldo Perez Palacio, who was supposedly the head of a drug trafficking network that sent cocaine to the United States and Europe, was captured in Bogota, the Colombian prosecutor's office reported on Thursday. Alias Rey was detained by members of the Technical Investigation Corps, the CTI of the prosecutor's office, in a hotel in response to an Interpol red notice issued by the Panamanian authorities, who are prosecuting him for charges related to money laundering and drug trafficking, said the prosecutor's office in a statement. The international request specified that Perez had at his disposal a structure that camouflaged cocaine in containers, cargo vehicles and planes that transported merchandise to transport them from Panama to different destinations. Likewise, it was known that he frequented Dubai and other countries to establish contacts for transnational cocaine trafficking. Perez supposedly received money payments through international transfers that were triangulated to European and American banks to finally reach the Panama banking system. This result complements the work carried out by the Panamanian authorities in the so-called Exodus and Whale operations, which allowed the capture of 51 people, the seizure of 10 firearms, ammunition, high-end vehicles, and more than $140,000 in cash. The capture of Perez was achieved in a joint effort by the Colombian Prosecutor's Office and the Panamanian authorities. The National Border Service, Senafranc, reported that they had seized 18 gallons of liquid cocaine and 300 packages of drugs in the Guna-Yala region. According to a preliminary report from Senafranc, liquid cocaine was located through special investigation techniques which were applied by anti-narcotics agents on Sala Island, now Ghana. Jorge Gobea, director of Senafranc, explained that the 18 gallons contained 68 kilos of cocaine that were going to be sold in Guna-Yala. This represents $204,000 in Panama and $1.3 million in the United States, which is a considerable impact on the drug trafficking structure that they try to operate in the sector, said Gorbea. In this procedure, two people were arrested, a craft boat with a 15-horsepower motor and two cell phones were seized. On the other hand, Senafranc reported that it seized about 300 rectangular packages of drugs, which were in eight packages wrapped with black cartridges and multiple fuel tanks, 16 15-gallon tanks. Agents from the Puerto Olvarilla battalion detected a go-fast-type boat near the community of Carreto, which was pursued, and while fleeing the boat, ran aground in an inlet. The occupants fled, and operations continued to locate them. Likewise, a 22-foot fiberglass boat with an HP motor and six bullet ammunitions, 38 calibers, were seized. After a census carried out by the Urban and Home Cleaning Authority, the AAUD, it was determined that 374 recyclers will be able to operate in the Cerro Patacon landfill district of Ancon in order to maintain stricter control of the personnel who enter the dump. For this control, the AAUD gave a group of 50 segregators identification cards so that they can work within the assigned area, that is, in the recycling warehouse, according to Resolution 108-2024 of March the 18th of this year, supported by Law 51 of September the 29th of 2010. 162 hectares that comprise the Cerro Patacon landfill were declared restricted areas as a security measure after the multiple fires that occurred in the landfill this year. The decree includes, but is not limited to, the shooting front or final disposal site stages 1, 2 and 3, recycling bin, administrative offices and weighing station, tire layout workshop, security checkpoints and internal pathways of the landfill. In addition, the AAUD reiterated that unauthorized persons are still prohibited from entering the landfill area. The census of the landfill's professional recyclers was carried out by sociologist Michael Guzman from the AAUD, who began the process of delivering the cards to the recyclers. For these days, two work schedules were established, from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. for the day shift and 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. for the night shift. Regarding the work of recyclers, the AAUD reported that in the recycling warehouse sector, they're organising so that only 30 trucks per day will enter, those that take more recycling material to the landfill. Data from the AAUD indicates that about 300 trucks enter Cerro Patagon every day, coming from the districts of Panama, San Miguelito and private companies. And a little bit of a antidepressant. Panamanian scientist Guillermo Antonio Amia, professor of biomedical engineering and director of the Center for Advanced Regenerative Engineering at Northwestern University, together with a team of scientists, created a bioelectronic sensor that allows continuous monitoring of bladder function over an extended period. The medical advance, which promises to change the lives of people suffering from bladder dysfunction, is due to the development of this technology. This project combines a soft and flexible implant with a mobile application to monitor and control bladder function remotely and in real time. While this new device is unnecessary for the average person, it could help people with paralysis, spina bifida, bladder cancer, or end-stage bladder disease, where the bladder function is often compromised and may be necessary that bladder reconstruction surgery took place. The sensor system can also allow doctors to remotely and continuously monitor their patients to make more informed and faster treatment decisions. If the nerves of the bladder are damaged by surgery or a disease such as spina bifida, then the patient often loses sensation and does not realise when their bladder is full. Amir explained, adding that to empty the bladder, they often have to use catheters, which are uncomfortable and can cause painful infections. We want to eliminate the use of the catheters and avoid current bladder function monitoring procedures, which are highly invasive, very unpleasant, and must be performed in a hospital or clinical setting. There you go. All these advancements in science. Absolutely incredible, isn't it? If you can't do it, your doctor can make you go for a pee. Right, there we go. That's it. There's a look at some of the local news items for you here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for this program.